Tonight, we're going to talk about how to tap the glory.
Amen.
Now, Matthew 25:14. I want to start with this because I wanted to do this for some time. But there are things that we've had to work through as a body to get to this place. And so I feel like we're there. You know, we're working on health. We're working on healthy relationships. We're working on prosperity. We're making some progress. I feel like we've had some breakthroughs lately. And so I think we can go here and get some good results. So Matthew 25:14, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. So, I said that we're working on our relationships. Well, one of the relationships we really need to work with is our relationship with the glory of God, with God himself, of course. But, I want to use a certain path to go here to see if I can get us to land where we need to land on this. And so I'm going to use this by talking to you about tap. That's why I called this Tapping the Glory, T-A-P, tap. I heard Brother Robert say some years ago that a lot of people lap the glory, but they don't tap the glory, or they lap the anointing, but they don't tap they're around it, but they don't actually tap in to what God has. And so I'm pretty sure everybody here knows what tap means in the natural. It's like when you take something, and you put a faucet in something and then you can get something out of it. There's a, you know, people have beer on tap. They've hooked that up, or root beer on tap, or Coke on tap, things like that. And so they tap that. So you plug something in so you can get something out. Okay. So this is what I want to present to you. T-A-P. The anointed principles. T-A-P. The anointed principles. And then we'll say of God. So the anointed principles of God are a gift of God's glory or unction to move in his glory. These particular principles that we're talking about right now. There's lots of principles, but these are the ones we're talking about tonight. We're very familiar with the word gift. We know it's charisma. We know it means grace. We know it means spiritual gift, right? I mean, I'm looking around in the house. These are things that most of us know about. A gift is an investment or an endowment from the Lord that, listen to me, it constantly produces income. Mm. Now don't just get on that I'm talking about financial. I'm talking about this is constantly producing it. You it's tapped. Yeah. Right. So it's going to constantly produce all the time. And so a gift, an endowment, would be an income producing property. A gift is an investment or an endowment from the Lord that constantly produces income. So as we're working with the Lord, we're going to see resulting increase. We should be seeing increase all the time. We work for the Lord and with the Lord to produce fruit in this earthly realm, right? That's what we're doing. And so in the parable that we see, when we began reading there, Jesus explains how different people receive different measures or amounts of anointing. I know people just put money there, but let's use it for everything we can use it for. He's talking about whatever God gives you, you steward it, you take care of it, right? So some 5, some 2, so on. So you all get that. So now here's a thought. There are many people who think that everybody has the same level of anointing gifts. That is just not so. That is just not true. Now, listen to the wording of Ephesians 4:8. You can just listen to this. It says, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Okay? Now, that we'll work through these next verses. It says, now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first to the lower parts of the earth? That he descended is the same also that he ascended up far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. This is to talk about what Jesus went through when he went into hell and took captivity captive. So he's up now, and here's what he's saying. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, the word some, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So notice the word some. So not everyone operates in the same anointings or on the or levels of anointings. But we all have some. And you enjoy what you have, whatever portion God has given you. So now also one thing to notice too is he started out with, he gave five. Interesting, because there is the fivefold ministry, right? Also, five is the number of grace. So that's interesting to take in. And represents a lot of things, but the verse is saying according to his several ability. So he gave somebody five because he knew they could handle it. He gave somebody two because he knew they could handle it. He gave somebody one. Well, you know what happened there. Anyway, so, ability then is defined as possessing the necessary qualities to carry out an action. Can you do it? Well, I would say Brother Copeland is carrying a heavier anointing than I am because he can carry out more than I can so far. No. But I'm coming in there. Praise the Lord. But you get what I'm saying. So there are certain competence, certain skills, certain talents, what God has put in him, what God has called him to do. And then there's what God has called me to do, what God has called you to do. All of us, whatever God has called you to do, he's going to give you the gifts, the ability, and the anointing to do these things. Now, everybody doesn't have the same talent or gift. That's obvious to us. And so some move in five, some move in two, as we just said. But we're all given some kind of gift to produce this income. We're calling it income. You're producing this fruit for God, for the profit of all, it said. So what you're doing, even right now, pulling on the anointing while I'm teaching, is helping everyone around you. And then, of course, you have your gifts. You just heard and sang and praised God in the river. That's a gift coming forth that is helping you get to a place. It's for profit. Now, so what God wants is a return on all of his investments. So when he gives you this anointing, he's expecting a return on it. He's expecting some fruit on it. Church, the anointing is the currency that God uses with man. God's currency with man, the anointing. He knows who will be good stewards of it or investors of his anointing. Now, it's very likely that we need to increase in our investment skills. Whatever you're doing, you can do better by the grace and the power of God. It's not up to you in works. But you're empowered to take it on. You just have to be obedient and you'll be pushed ahead in these things. Okay, so this is kind of a long introduction, but we need it. How can we do that then? How can we, this anointing that's on you, this anointing that's on me, how can I invest or do it better? Well, the last letter of TAP stands for principles, as we said, and the word principle in Hebrew is the word resheth, and it means, like, you know this word in Hebrew, rosh, yeah. Rosh Hashanah, head, uh-huh. head. So this word resheath actually means something similar to that. It's the starting of something, or it's time, order, and rank. So you do things in a certain way and you'll get certain results, right? Isn't that just true about everything? If you do things a certain way, you're going to get the results that you want. So, it's about purpose. It's about counsel, plans, or even devices, is involved in this word. Basically, we can say that principles help fulfill God's purposes. Okay. When you get the principle, you can help, do that. It's like this. Here's a principle. How does faith come? You have to hear. That's a principle. That's a basic principle. Okay. Now, the truth is that God is no respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of principles. He does things a certain way. He's not loose. He's easygoing with us, but he's not loose. He has ways he would like for things to be done. So when it comes to the anointing, like in college, we have majors and minors. You majored in one thing and then you had a minor, right? Some people, Ronnie, what'd you major in? English or teach? Okay, see? So there's her two majors and minors, and then we could go around the room and everybody would have different things. But I think what happens in the body of Christ is that a lot of times, a lot of folks are majoring in the minors and minoring in the majors. They have things turn around. So we need to look at the principle of these things, because you cannot try to be who you are not. You need to be who you are. Yeah. Don't struggle with that. Just be who you are. Yeah. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a teacher. You have to be who you are. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're called to that, you need to answer the call. But I believe there's some leadership in every person. So there's a call to move forward in these things, but you need to answer the call to be who you are. Now, so we want to steward these things, and we'll need these principles to do it. So, what I want to do then, just for the remaining here, is I want to just make some pointers to you to help you understand the difference between anointing and glory. And you may think, well, we know. Well, then sit up here and act like you're getting something then, if you know, okay? Because I want to help you with this, because I was telling Danny today, early this morning, I said, you know, there's just a piece of this that I have tried to work with and work with and work with, and I've listened to a lot of people, and it didn't work for me. And the Lord showed me. The Lord showed me how this works, and kind of fed into me some of the right answers. And so I want to see if this will help you. The anointing versus glory. Now, the original word for anointing comes from a practice where shepherds, in the biblical times, there were lice and insects getting on the sheep. You all know this. And, that it'd get down in the wool of the sheep. And so it'd get near their head and burrow into their ears. And then they'd get infected. And a lot of times the sheep would die. You still have to take care of sheep like that today. They're really, you're really busy with sheep. I don't know if y'all know that, but yeah, praise the Lord. Anyway, the shepherds poured oil around their head, and then the oil's so slippery that the insects can't get in. Okay. Okay. And so, this is symbolic of the blessing. It's symbolic of empowerment and protection, but we would know it because of where we're raised as the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. So the anointing on your life, everyone within the sound of my voice, the anointing on your life is to be used to remove burdens and destroy yokes. Mm-hmm. That's what it's for. Amen. You're so slippery and you're releasing that oil on people that they're going free. Amen. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Whew, I just felt an increase right there. Praise the Lord. So the anointing of God has that same purpose like they do with the sheep. It's going to take those spiritual insects of the enemy that are going to try to get into your ears and kill you. Now, you know, you may not die, but you could get in the death cycle. The death cycle, you're living, but you're living in misery. And they could get in there and mess up your life. So they could kill finance. They could kill credibility. They could kill your witness. They could kill your harvest. And so what you want is this anointing that helps people have these things removed. If Satan can get into your vision, he can destroy you. Why? Because where there's no vision, the people perish, right? And so, now the New Testament word for anoint means to come. Now think about this. We've all seen this and we've seen this lately. They anoint the king. They anointed the queen. They anoint prophets. When we ordain someone, we anoint them. We lay hands on them and anoint them. Some people use oil. Some people just use what's coming in the spirit. But there is an anointing released. And so there's a consecration involved when you get into the New Testament. Now, this is what I want you to get. The anointing is vitally important in this. Get this, church. You have to get this. This is going to lock you in as we go into these end time. The anointing, it gives the believer their identity in Christ. It's going to give you your identity. Now, you'll have to walk with me through this to see this. But this is where you'll see your identity. Stay with me and I'll show you what I mean by that. Listen, church, there are multitudes of people right now who know how to get into the presence of God. However, once it lifts, they're still lost about who they are in Him. They could come into a church and get into the presence of God and enjoy all the things and walk out the door and still just be so lost in their identity. They still don't know who they are. You understand what I'm saying there? So a lot of people backslide because they have no sense of direction of their calling of God in their lives. You have to know your calling of God. They don't understand their placement in the church, the fivefold ministry, or the mission in God's kingdom. And so this is the reason why we see vast numbers of people church hopping. They keep thinking that if they go to the next church, God's going to tell them who they are. They can't seem to find themselves, so they'll go along and do all right, and then finally they'll just, you know, well, this is not working for me for some reason or another. But if you find out who you are, there's such a stability in that. And you can make it through a lot of things. So, let's address a misconception that's gonna help us. When you get this, you won't need so much validation. Okay? I'm going to go somewhere where the pastor loves me more. That pastor just beat me all the time. People feel like that. But if you know who you are and you know your calling and you know the anointing on your life, there's a stability to that. And I just want to make sure you get that, because as we go into this awakening and things happen in here and outside of here that are just glorious. By the way, the summer of surprises have already started. There's some witnesses that I've heard some things that have already happened that are really amazing already. Praise the Lord. But you're going to need to know the difference in some things. So here's where we're going to go first. It has been taught that when operating under the glory, we should not lay hands on, because then it becomes the anointing realm and not the glory realm. Have any of you heard that?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I had a problem with that. So I sought the Lord about that. That statement is very far from the truth. It is not right, and you should not go there. While it's true that in the glory you don't even have to lay hands on people, stay with me, you don't have to. The Spirit moves on them in such a heavy presence that it's not necessary. We understand that. That's very true. But listen, laying hands does not mean that we're moving under the anointing instead of the glory. It means that we've transitioned to the point of contact in God's glory. There's a point of contact. You with me? And so it's totally okay to lay hands on someone, when the glory is present. Now we'll flip this over in a little bit, okay? So don't get real dogmatic here. We're gonna flip it over here, and you're gonna see the whole picture. But just this thing of, you know, you'll just bring the glory down if you start laying hands on people. No, if you obey God, you won't miss it. Yeah. Just obey God when you're operating in these things. Walk with me now. We have to keep this going. Now, the anointing, remember, removes burdens and destroys yokes. I've seen people experience signs and wonders and healings. And then I've also seen people leave that same meeting still broken and oppressed and depressed and unfulfilled. And you have too. You've seen people get all these glorious things. And then you see people walk out unchanged. The people left unchanged because, listen, They experienced an atmospheric touch. Do I need to back up about that? The glory is the, well, this is in my notes, but this may need to say it here. When the glory comes in, it's the heavy, weighty presence of God. It fills the atmosphere. His presence is so thick, things begin to happen. It's like heaven coming down, okay? But you can sit through that and go home just as broken as you were and go, woo, we had a hoop-de-doo. Okay? Might be a good idea to think back about Azusa Street. They didn't stop laying hands on people. They didn't stop praying for people. But you hear these things. I've read books, and it kept... It annoyed me. I kept going, I don't know about that. Oh yeah, you need to not. No. Let's go down the middle line here on what God is saying to us. Now, you know, once these people got home after they had this experience and that glory lifts, the atmosphere at home isn't like where they were. So it's an atmospheric experience, but they didn't get everything they needed. Now, stay with me. So, glory realm atmospheres can lift or be hindered for various reasons. However, an impartation of the anointing remains whether it's in seed form or in full measure within that individual. It stays with you. You gotta get that, church. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. You gotta get that. This is very important that you understand that. It's not gonna go away. On the other hand, the glory can be removed from hindrances in worship. Am I right? Sometimes it just doesn't get there. It could lift because people don't understand the glory realm. It could lift because people don't give the glory time to fully manifest. You have to have a conducive atmosphere for glory. I can tell you one word what it is. Worship. It's not I was a sad person and you came along and saved me and I ran out of the grave. That is not glory atmosphere. That's praise. We like it. We're worshiping grateful. I mean, we're grateful and praise God for what he does. But worship is when you're focusing on him. And that's where glory atmosphere comes from. Okay. So, many churches can get a cloud to come But they don't have the patience to wait for it to rain. And this is where the anointing kicks in. There's the anointing to move forward. Amen. So, yeah, listen, there's no record of Jesus waiting for an atmospheric change before he laid hands on people. Okay? He moved in healing. He moved in deliverance and creative miracles. When it said the power of the Lord was present to heal, it wasn't saying the glory came. And so now Jesus could heal. No, the power of God was on Jesus the same way that it was on Peter. They said Peter's shadow was healing people. That wasn't the glory realm. That was the anointing on Peter. And when he would walk by people and they would get within his shadow, they would get healed. It's the anointing. That anointing was removing the burdens and destroying the yokes. So this is my point, church. You cannot rely so heavily on the glory realm that you do not function in any other facet of anointing. Okay? You can't be codependent on the atmosphere. I have to tell you this before things break out. Because here in the future, you're going to see some stuff. Clouds and rain and all kinds of signs and wonders. But if you don't get a hold of who you are and how you're anointed, listen, I can tell you, so, you know, I go out and preach in other churches and minister, and a lot of people call me to come because, you know, that gift that everybody wants word. You know, and so, but frankly, I like preaching the word of faith better than anything else I do. But I go and I do what I do. But I can tell you this. There are many churches that I go to, got a few witnesses in the room, where you just wade through the worship. You just have to wade through it, and you just have to stand there in your anointing and go, well, Lord, I worship you the best I can, because it's all songs about you're helping me make it through. And we're going to make it through. And I, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm okay with I was a wretch and now I'm not. I'm okay with that. But when you get to the worship part, it needs to be something different. That song that you sing a song about that, it changes as you go. It's a quick. This is what I was. This is who I am. But even in that, well, it's not so much about talking about who you are. I don't need to get off on this. But anyway, have to wade through that. So what happens when it's time for me to get up and minister? Ain't no glory in the room. You depend on the anointing. You depend on the anointing. You have to depend on the anointing that is on your life. It's to say everybody on the praise and worship team knows right now how sleepy people can look while y'all are doing it. You got to depend on the anointing. When all the people that come in here and pray at any of the prayer services or online, what do you have to do? You got to depend on the anointing to do it. It's got to be what's on you. Now, I just get up there by faith, step into the anointing, and it works for me. Certain songs and tones put forth certain atmospheres. Am I right? Yeah. We all know that. We know there's a key of David that does wonderful things. So you must allow the Holy Spirit to manage that area so that you can go with what he wants on that day. Are you with me? You're like, well, what does this have to do with us, Pastor? Y'all do all that. No, this is about all of us. So you see where Holy Spirit wants to go, and then he sets the tone, and then you go. Okay. Now, you see that, don't you? Jesus didn't have to wait for the worship team. He didn't have to. He's just moving the anointing. Can I tell you, so can you. Okay. Now, you have to get this. We're talking about identity here. You know your anointing. You know the anointing that is on you. You cannot be codependent on the atmosphere flow first. That's the principle here. Don't be dependent, because wherever you go to preach, may not be nothing in the room. Whoever you go to pray for, there may just be a bunch of doubt there. Are new people that don't know what they're doing. Well, I don't know. What's the anointing? They don't know anything about this. But if your identity is in your anointing and you know who you are, you're going to step right up there and say, I'm anointed. I'm just going to flow in what I have. I don't have to wait to see if y'all pray me through. Now, it's wonderful that we understand how to make supply for one another. We understand how to open the womb of our hearts and let the word get in and amen and move forward and all this and not block it out. That's wonderful that we do that. But if everybody just sat here like a dummy, I could still preach in the anointing. I preach at home to my computer. I did it at 11:30 this morning and we had a glorious time. It was anointed. You're anointed, church. Okay, so we're talking about identity. We're talking about your anointing. You cannot be codependent on the atmospheric flow. Anyway, listen, Jesus was so used to operating in contact anointing until the Roman centurion came up and said, you don't have to come. Remember that? Jesus was so used to, oh, I'll come. So you don't have to feel bad about the anointing. You need to feel good about who you are and what you're carrying. But, you know, and we'll have to talk about that later. The soldier understood authority. Y'all know about that. And that's high faith, and we'll get to that subject. But in the realms of glory, Father fights for us. In the anointing, we stand up for ourselves. It's the power of Him in us that's doing this. And this is what actually, now get this, this is what builds our endurance as soldiers in the kingdom of God. With the anointing, we're more than just civilians. We can have a military mindset that we're not only these sons and daughters of God, but I'm talking about that we possess weapons of warfare that are necessary to remove burdens and destroy yokes to help other people. And you're carrying that. If you haven't caught on to this yet, I'm trying to tell you that your personal God-given anointing is very precious. That's what I'm telling you. Glory cloud or no glory cloud, we're equipped. So please never discount the anointing. Now, the glory. We want it. We want His presence. Lord, show us your glory. I didn't say all of that to take away from the glory. But I want you to have that principle that whether the glory cloud is present or not, you're present. And the presence of God is in you. Okay? That's where we wanted to start things out. So the glory, of course, is the heavy, weighty presence of God in all of His goodness. It's an atmospheric change. You can feel the presence of God come in, and it'll get heavier and heavier and heavier to the point that some people after the service will say, did you see how foggy it got? Other people never saw it. But some people will see it. Sometimes I've seen it raining in here. And people are like, but some people see it. We will come to a place where it'll be foggy enough where everybody will see it. It will. We've had a few times, but there's going to be more and more of that. So what I want to do is, because it would take way too long and I'm counting down the clock right now. Instead of going and talking a whole lot about the glory, which I've been preaching on for 30 years, but instead of talking about the presence of God and glory. What I want to do right now is I want to tell you the difference between the anointing and the glory, just to give you the feel of it, okay? So first we'll start with the anointing and go the anointing, and then we'll do the glory. So the anointing. Now listen, it does, what I'm about to say doesn't discount either one, okay? The anointing is like taking the stairs, but the glory is like taking the elevator. Everything accelerates in the glory. In the anointing, it may take time to see a result, while in the glory, it's instantaneous because time is removed from the equation. Okay? I want to say that one again. In the anointing, it may take time to see a result, while in the glory, it's instantaneous because time is removed from the equation. Number three, in the anointing, there's a tendency, but not a rule, that you'll see more healings and more deliverances, and in the glory, creative miracles, signs, and wonders. Now, why would that be? Time isn't present. Well, church, when the glory atmosphere comes, it's heaven. Heaven has no time. You're out of time. You're in eternity comes down on us and things begin to happen, and it's quick. Quick is too little of a word, isn't it? In the anointing, there are levels and measures, but in the glory, there are dimensions and realms. Okay. In the anointing, there are levels and measures, but in the glory, there are dimensions and realms. You're going to step into other places in the realm of the spirit. In the anointing, there's an infilling, but in the glory, there's an outpouring. Okay. Number six, in the anointing, we use our faith. We work with our faith. In the glory, now, this gets a little touchy, so hear me all the way through. In the glory, you rest, declare, decree from an open heaven. Now, that sounds a little odd to us word and faith people, because we know we live in an open heaven. Right now, you're living in an open heaven. Since Jesus entered the throne room, you've lived in an open heaven. But this is talking about in an atmospheric happening. So time is not present. And so whatever you say in that atmosphere, whatever you say in the glory, boom. So that's why you see these meetings where, and there's a particular meeting I was just reading about where there was the gold, the feathers, the diamonds. People were holding their britches up, walking out because they lost weight in the meeting. Instantaneous healings. The whole package there. Y'all laughing because I said britches? Yeah. They were holding up their pants. Reminds me of Pastor Sue. She used to say britches and we'd laugh all the time. I guess I got that from her. Anyway, open heaven. And anyway, we decree always, but there's an atmosphere that launches things. The only way I could think to tell you this, and Holy Spirit help us, but it's the difference between gravity and weightlessness. Like if right now I'm going to jump back there to joy, I'm going to jump for joy. If I'm going to jump back there to joy. But if we were in weightlessness, have a little fire pack on my back. Or be like the cartoon, like the Roadrunner. He could just end up in the other place. Beep, beep. Translations, there's a good point. This is the glory realm doing these things. This is not a fairy tale. Okay. Number seven, in the anointing, God works with us according to Mark 16:20. He's working with the word. He's working with the word. In the glory, he works with the heavenly atmosphere. A lot of angelic activity, okay? He's working in, it, it, It is a different flow because when that glory comes down, it has pushed out darkness. It'd be just like you're going to feel when you step into heaven. You're going to go, whoo. That's good. Things are happening. Well, that heaven coming down will do the same thing. Now let's flip the chart now and we'll go through these things for the last couple of minutes here. The glory displays how powerful God is, but the anointing shows how powerful we are in God. Could y'all get that from everything I've taught you so far today? See, the glory shows the power of God, but the anointing shows that you're powerful in God. That's your identity. You're powerful in God. I just want to make sure you get that. We've got to drive that in there. The anointing exposes how much God we have in us, not around us, through atmospheric help from above. It's God in you. It's God in you. Which, by the way, I'm going to give you a little secret, and I can't stay long on this, is the hope of glory. Okay, we can't go there tonight. But anyway, in the glory, we may get a cloud to come, but it doesn't guarantee that the rain will come upon the people and manifestations will happen. In the anointing, we've grown accustomed to our gift, where it's a healing anointing or a prophetic anointing or whatever it is you do. So that we know how to work that gift through the unctioning of the Holy Spirit to the point of guaranteed results. When you've worked in your gift so long, you could just step in there and you can work in that gift and you don't have any concern about just stepping out on it. Okay. In the glory realm, God's doing it all and he just uses your voice in it. See. Okay, now, we know how to work the gift through the unctioning of the Holy Spirit to the point of guaranteed results. The Holy Spirit trusts us with that gift. It's easy to get in an anointing and step right in there and lean just a little bit. And you can do what's in you. There are new phrases coming out. New phrases coming out from your spirit. Begin to listen to those phrases. God has a plan and he has certain confessions and phrases that are going to come forth that will bring glory to many around you. Now, what do I do then? I just tapped. I didn't tap glory. I tapped an anointing that's in me. I have a gift, just like you do. I just tapped that. I walked into it and I went, okay, Lord, who? While I'm teaching you, I went, who? Inside. He pointed to Sandy. He gives her a word. That's easy. I have to do it by faith. But it works. Okay. The majority of the time, the glory realm is displayed in conferences, church meetings, house meetings. There's an atmosphere that has to be set. The anointing just works everywhere. Just walk right into HEB. The anointing's there with you. Just get right out on the street. The anointing's there with you. Go to grandma's house. The anointing's there with you. The anointing's there with you all the time. So the glory depends on an atmosphere being made, but the anointing is there for you. And no matter where you're called to ministry, in any country, in any church, in any place, with any kind of people, wherever you are, the anointing is there to do the work. It does not discount. I'm not sitting here preaching against the glory. I want the glory. That is just what I want. I just want it. I want everything God has for us, but I don't want you, the precious people of God, stepping into that and not realizing what you're carrying all the time, every day. Amen. This is your identity. You are anointed on a level that the world is not familiar with, all to the glory of God. That's all I have. I don't want to put much else on that. I just want you to know you're anointed. And all of our anointings together build a river. I don't know what I'm anointed to do. Well, let me help you with that. You're anointed to speak something. You may not be a preacher. You may not be a prophet. You may not be a teacher, but you're the prophet of your own life. And when you open your mouth, the anointing can come through and change atmospheres. Father, we thank you for the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. We thank you for the anointing on our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the glory of God manifesting. We want all of you in every way we can have you. We want you on the inside. We want you on the outside. We want you to fill the house. We want to carry you everywhere we go. It is our desire. We want to lay hands on the sick, and we want to just speak and watch things happen. And Father, we thank you that you said we could decree a thing and it would happen. And so we thank you, Lord. We decree glory in the house, and we decree anointing on every person in this room in Jesus' name. Father, I just declare right now over the internet audience, you are anointed. You are blessed. We declare that you receive the anointing of God on your life. If you're not filled with the Spirit of God yet, into the overflow with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, get with God, get baptized in the Holy Ghost, because it's going to change your life forever. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye-bye.